We are at that time in the church year where we're going to get to see a few weeks or even a few months where the epistle lesson, the readings are one after another in a book. And so for several weeks, we will be moving through a segment of 2 Corinthians. We started that last week, and some of the text overlaps. Not only are they having a few verses actually overlap that you heard read, and that'll happen next week as well, but also I went ahead and I picked up some of the language that you're going to hear or you have heard read today, and we're going to review and look at again. And the main thrust of this segment, what St. Paul really wants you to get, to receive, or to do, is to not lose heart. To not lose heart. That's just one way of saying to have hope, to retain your hope. It is easy as fallen humans to want hope. It's natural. We don't have to try. We look for it. We try to look forward to things, right? That's why we have calendars. That's why we make plans. So we want hope. But it is very easy to put our hope only in things which ultimately will disappoint us. Because by nature, we want to put our hope in what we see. By nature, we do not want to put our hope in what we do not see or what we will not see. And so to use Paul's language, which we'll come back to again, we put our hope in the transient, that is, in things which pass away. But Christianity is not like that at all. Christianity is about having your hope in the imperishable, in the eternal. The opposite of transient, the opposite of passing away. It is about looking forward and not losing heart, because even while all these things pass away, heaven and earth themselves pass away, the words of Jesus will never pass away. And these words of Jesus, most specifically to you, you will receive today. Take and eat. You're one with me now. You are my body, you are my blood, because you have eaten my body and drank my blood. And so since I will never pass away, you will never pass away. This whole section in 2 Corinthians is Paul writing to that Corinthian church to remind them of this in the midst of various trials which they face. And for them particularly, it was the trial of false teaching. They were a divided congregation. They were arguing over all manner of things. In 1 Corinthians, Paul had written to try to bring them back together, and it had kind of worked, but it kind of had not worked. And there had sprung up in their midst a group of false teachers, super apostles, they were calling themselves, who basically at this point were saying, St. Paul isn't really an apostle. They wouldn't have said saint. They would have said, that Paul guy is not really from Jesus. You don't need to listen to him. He's kind of a weakling. We're the real deal. Paul is writing to address that. And he's concerned that the thing that they're going to lose, as these super apostles are going to point to all the Hebrew traditions, things like circumcision, that you can look to for your hope, he's concerned that in the midst of that, they would lose the hope of the resurrection in Jesus because you are baptized into him. And he's in the middle of that argument now, in the middle of proclaiming this, and it comes down to us then, is the same hope. Do not lose heart, no matter what you face, no matter what we face. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and he is yours, and you are his. The text picks up at verse 13. Kind of an awkward place to start. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, he quotes, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak. The quote is sort of to show that in the Old Testament, the prophets, David particularly in this case, when he had a word from God, did not keep it to himself, but proclaimed that word. We've talked about this before. This is the definition of prophecy. Prophecy is not telling the future. Prophecy is when God speaks and you hear it and you speak it again. So if he speaks to one person and says, tell everybody this, that one guy is a prophet. If he speaks to all of you and says, go into all nations teaching this, now you're all prophets. And that is where we are. an age of prophets who confessed the creed. But he's referring to David the prophet, who believed and spoke in this way, to affirm that he, as an apostle, is actually a notch above you and me. We have words to speak because the apostles wrote them down, because they preached them. But we did not have Jesus come to us directly and catechize us directly. We must rely on the teaching of the apostles for this. Not so with Paul. Paul not only got knocked off his horse and converted in that moment, but experienced regular ongoing visions in which Jesus conversed with him. His teaching was directly from the Lord, from no man. He did not even get taught it by the other apostles. He only preached the same thing that they preached, so that they were able to extend the right hand of fellowship to each other and agree, we're preaching the same Christ. According to that spirit, which made him an apostle, which made David believe and speak, now makes him believe and speak. That's his point. We also believe and so we speak, he says. And that we talked about this last week, remember, in 2 Corinthians, the we is not you and me first. It's Paul and the apostles first. And then it's only us through them as the church, right? But you're going to see it coming up here where he's going to say we and you. And he's talking apostles to believers at that point. And we can apply this to us if we need to. It can be pastor to people. It can be brother and sister in Christ to brother and sister in Christ. But we can only get that right understanding when we see that first, it is Paul and the apostles preaching to us all. We believed and so we spoke. What do we speak and what do we know? Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Yes? It's all about the resurrection of the dead. St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John believe that just as Jesus crucified did not stay dead, but as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world showed the vindication of his act by rising physically from the grave, so much so that you could put your finger in his hands and he could eat fish with you at a barbecue, in such a way, so also the apostles knew that they too, baptized into him, would have a resurrection of their own on the last day. And they're convinced it's not only for them, but for all who would believe this, who would hear this and believe this. That is, for you too. So that this resurrection is indeed the thrust of the Christian hope. We were talking in Bible study this morning. I heard some of you were worried church might not start on time because Bible study went too long. My first thought was, you should come to Bible study then, shouldn't you? In Bible study this morning, we were talking about a sign written in the sky. Someone paid one of those airplanes to write with smoke, Jesus loves you. And we were talking about how this is true, but it's not really the message that converts people. It's not really what we were sent to preach. You can search far and wide in the book of Acts for the apostles to ever proclaim Jesus loves you. What they proclaim is that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ is coming again. Jesus is risen from the dead. Imagine seeing that one in the sky. A more clear message. And proof that he loves you, by the way. It's not some namby-pamby, fuzzy, just in the sky, Barney the purple dinosaur, I'm your friend, you're my friend, we're all happy. That's not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is a cross. He loves you so much, not that he stretched out his arms to hug you, but he let you nail his arms to the cross to pay for you. Knowing this faith, that Jesus, who is raised, will raise you because of this work, we do not lose hope. We do not lose heart. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake. This is what the apostles are doing. This is what Jesus is doing. This is what the church is doing. Again, in Bible study, the question was, why does God let bad things happen? It's even why that is happening. It's for your sake. Rest of the verse. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Everything that's happening in all of history is for the word of God about Jesus to slide through history as promises and prophecies into the actual flesh and blood of Christ, a man doing this for you, and then from his mouth and his ascension back down history to you today. Everything else, the rise and fall of kingdoms, the getting sick of loved ones, the great times which come, it is all there as a great tapestry, a great harmony, a great orchestra moving so that you hear these words right now and believe them. That Jesus isn't dead, and so you're not going to be dead forever either. It's all to one purpose: grace, forgiveness, hope, to the thanksgiving of God. The result that now, underneath God again, you know who he is. And you can say thank you for the good gifts. And as again we talked about this morning, you can say thank you for the frustrations and the crosses and the trials as well. So that, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though, he goes on to say, our outer self is wasting away. I mean, this is a direct talk about what most of you have experienced already. I'd say there's maybe 30% of the people in this room that have no idea what's coming after they hit age 20. And then 30. And then 40. That's where I am right now. Oh, hurts. Yeah. And then 50, right? Keeps going, doesn't it? And then 60. And then 70. And then 80, if you're lucky, maybe. Maybe if you're unlucky, it's 80. Yeah. I remember once visiting a man, a member of the congregation. He knew he would die soon. His body had kind of partially figured out it was dead already before he was dead. And so when they would turn him over to bathe him, they could see, you could see and smell that his back and his buttocks was already deteriorating, decaying the way a dead body would. Took 2 more days before he actually passed on. He was aware the entire time. Our outer form is passing away. It's transient. This flesh, strong as it might be for some things, is not strong enough for sin. Even though that is true, verse 16, though our outer self is wasting away, the inner self is being renewed day by day. So that faith is what he's getting at here. Not your soul, not your spirit, not your feelings. Your faith in the Son of God is being remade new every day by the word of God's presence in your life. First of all, by your baptism, which was not one event long time ago, but every single morning is a stamp God's placed on your face that you wake up as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, and he's going to work upon you, whether you like it or not. 2, any words that further come into your life in that day, whether it be portals of prayer, whether it be the treasury of daily prayer from CPH, whether it be listening to Issues, etc., or Sharp or Iron, it doesn't matter. You should have something, though. You should have some word of God in your life every day, renewing that inner self. When you pray the table prayer, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, renewing the inner self. And don't miss this too here in the text. This is the place where Dr. Martin Luther gets the language of the old man and the new man. But in our, did I already say namby-pamby in the sermon? I'll say it again. In our namby-pamby age, we're afraid of offending everybody. We don't want the ladies to be offended by the word man, because it might mean that the ladies don't get included or something. I don't know who's so dumb as to think that. But we certainly have thought that, and we've changed the text. The Greek does not say inner self. It says inner man. It doesn't say outer self. It says outer man. And so what is it getting at there? The old man, the old Adam, a way of talking about our flesh, our sin. So it's not just your body that is passing away. It is your sinful condition that is passing away. And again, your faith, your new man, which has a body, this body that will be raised on the last day, that man, that person who you are, is being renewed day by day by the baptism into Christ which you are given, and the words which come to you to confirm that and to strengthen that, and the feast which we're about to have again to remind you of that, that you would never forget what he has done. Even though our old self is dying, our new self is rising every morning. Therefore, right, verse 17, for, therefore, this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. St. Paul is not being nice at this point if you're depressed, or if you're grieving, or if you're struggling, or if you don't like your job, or if you don't like your parents. He's telling you, get over it. It is a light and momentary affliction. And it is nothing. It is a smidgen compared with the weight of glorious immortality that is coming soon for you. Now, this is not to say that you don't feel grief or depression. I do. Or that you don't struggle against authorities that you don't like. I do. This is to say, though, that my faith believes all of that is not even on the same scale as the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of all flesh, you and me and us and the world and the life of the world to come. They are not worth comparing to each other. It's no contest. Anybody watch the NBA Finals? LeBron James is one of the best players in the history of the world, and he loses 4-0. No contest. That's a closer comparison than our momentary trials that we do. We get our heads down in them. Our heads are down in our bellies. We can't see out of it. This word says, don't lose hope. The weight of glory that's coming in the resurrection of Jesus is greater than this. That's what will pull you out of these things, to see a better day coming. Don't lose hope. That comparison is far greater, or far less than the basketball games. We look then, verse 18, not to the things that are seen, but that to the things that are unseen. Give me a moment as I go over here for a moment. We're going to make an example this morning. In a few moments, I am going to give you all a piece of this bread, unless you've not been instructed to confirm. And I'm going to tell you, this is the body of Jesus of Nazareth. Christians don't look to what is seen. There's no Jesus inside. Where is he? We don't look to that. We look to what is unseen. What is unseen? What is said. The words of Jesus. Yeah. The wine, the same way. We have red wine here. What would happen if we used white wine?
Would that be okay? Yes, it'd be okay. Because it's not what it looks like. It's not his blood because it's red. It's his blood because it's the fruit of the vine, wine, which he has said is his blood. We look to the things that are unseen. Because, the rest of the verse, things that are seen, this bread, is transient. It's going to be gone. Become part of my body. Who knows where it goes, right? Passing away. Perishes with use. But what this bread is, once we have brought Jesus' words to it, I'll finish it. Once we have brought those words to it, is more than the transient. It is, as the verse says, eternal. The body of Jesus unseen, but received as bread, because the bread doesn't go away. That body is eternal, and so you are eternal. I just ate a piece of bread, but in a moment we're going to eat bread that's eternal, and therefore making you eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1 is the end of today's reading. It's the start of next week's reading. For we know, he says, that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's the tent? Your body right now. The scripture in other places will compare your body now to your body that will be, to a tent and a building. So imagine the difference between a tent in your backyard, or even a really nice tent, a wigwam, and your building, a building, your house. The difference is uncomparable, right? Wouldn't you much rather live in a foundation made with stone than one made with leather? We know that this tent of the body is passing away, but we also have a building from God. One of the other ways he describes this in 1 Corinthians is the difference between a seed and a flower. That's the distinction between what we experience now with these bodies and what we will experience and be with these bodies in the life of the world to come. A building from God, a house not made with hands. Don't miss this final point. Eternal in the heavens. He's not talking about heaven. What is the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens? It's not heaven. It's not paradise. It's not the new heavens and the new earth. The house not made with hands, who is right now eternal in the heavens, is Jesus. Jesus seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, eternal. A body made of brick and stone? No, a body made of everlasting human flesh. And it is that everlasting human flesh that you feast on, eternal in the heavens now, joining you now, so that you will not lose heart, no matter what afflictions, momentary as they are, come to you today and this week and in your life. I think I would be remiss, since I did it at the other service, if I did not point out then how those afflictions are coming to us in one way this year, St. Paul Lutheran Church. Over the course of this year, you're going to get tired of hearing me say it, we're going to make some hard decisions. And I want to guarantee you right now that of the changes that are going to take place, at least one of them you won't like. You personally, not you the group, you personally. There will be one thing that changes that you won't like. And if we let that distract us from the hope that is within us in the resurrection of Jesus and keep us from meeting together in order to have this go on, well, then I guess we deserve what we get at that point, right? Don't lose heart. The transient, the passing, the things we've built, God bless them for what they are. But if and when they pass away, remember, we, you and I, the person next to you, take a look around. They won't pass away. When they're coming up to feast today and you're singing, look up at them, the ones you don't know very well. Remember, you're going to be with them in paradise because of this meal, because of these words. St. Paul Lutheran Church, do not lose heart. In the name of Jesus, amen.